Please turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. That's where we will begin. We'll be looking at a few places this morning. Romans 12, before we look at this, let's ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you that we can come and worship you, a God that is worthy of all our praise. And Father, I pray that as we sit and we consider your word, that your spirit will be our teacher, and that, Father, you will illuminate us. Let us see our hearts and our minds before you, and that, Lord, you will do your work of grace in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you don't know, it's the 22nd of January today. Now, for some, that doesn't mean too much. But for others, that means it's getting much closer to all the ministries of the church starting up again. We've had a nice break. And for a lot of us, we'll be back serving the Lord in various ways in this local church. Not all the ministries have stopped. The piano players and the musicians have continued, and the preaching has continued, and various other things as well. But the ministries have certainly thinned out. Yet, give it another week or two, and we'll be back, and everything will be running. And if you are involved in a ministry here in this church, I want you to know one very important thing, and that is, there is more to preparing for the year of service than simply being physically ready in having a rest. You also need to make sure that your mind is ready to serve. Something that's become very evident to me over the years is the need to have the mind of a servant and not just the actions of a servant. And that's what I want to be looking at this morning. Making sure that we're ready in our mind to serve the Lord this year. We need not just the right actions, but the right attitude. And here in Romans, if you've turned there in verse 12, we see how these two things come together. There is a need for action and getting that right, and there is a need for mind and having that right as well. In verse 1, it talks about having the right actions. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, get that, service. Now this is for our entire life, but it can be narrowed down to our service here in a local church, where we need to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a little bit like, or very similar to what I was saying last Sunday, looking at those vessels, how we need to be vessels fit for the Master's use. And a part of that is being empty of self so we can be filled with Christ. And it comes to that point where we say to the Lord, Lord, here's my body. Please use it as you see fit. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to be doing. And if you're not willing to offer your body as a living sacrifice, well then, you're not going to serve him, because your body is going to be off doing something else when you could be serving the Lord in some way that he wants you to be serving. And so you have to make sure your body's here, doing what God wants. But in verse 2 we learn there's a need for the right attitude as well. We need a renewing of our mind so that we have the right attitude while we are serving. It says there in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, a changing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, there's also a need for a change of a mindset as well, so that we've got both working together. Our minds need to be changed. They need to have that transforming work of God so that we have a mind which is like our Saviour's, who we know came as a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and so on. And this is just as important as our actions. If you only act like a servant this year, but you don't think like a servant, you're going to become a very bitter, disheartened, discouraged, angry person by the end of the year. You know, I'm sure you've known of people who have served the Lord consistently and sacrificially in a local church for years on end. And you look at them and you think, what a wonderful servant of Christ. And on the outside, they are. But after years of serving the Lord, they just quit. They stop serving the Lord altogether. And they're a very angry, bitter person. I'm sure you've known people like that. Most of us have. And what you find with most of these people is they may have had the actions of a servant, but for many years they didn't actually have the mind of a servant that went along with it. And I can tell you that's a disaster when you're like that. And as we head into this year of serving the Lord, we must make sure that we are not like this. God is just as interested in why we serve Him as what we actually do in service. Attitudes are just as important as actions and achievements. You know, if you do a lot for God here and you see great things happen through your ministry, yet inside you're proud or inside you're angry or inside you're bitter, well then, what's the point of those things? Real servants serve God with the right attitude. And one thing I am very certain of, and that is God wants me and He wants you to serve Him here with the right attitude. He wants you to have what we call a servant's heart. Yes, He wants you to serve. He asks us to give our bodies to serve Him in various ways. He wants to see actions from each one of us, but He also wants us to have the right heart while we do it. You know, I read once, how do you know if you have a servant's heart? Well, the answer is by how you respond when someone treats you like a servant. That's the key. You may have the actions of a servant, but when someone treats you like a servant, your response will show if you have the heart of a servant. Do you forgive, even though they may not deserve forgiveness? Do you flare up and accuse everyone because you're not happy with how you're being treated? Do you demand to be treated with respect and refuse to serve until you're respected? Well, that's not really how a servant acts. That might be how a equal acts or whatever it may be, but certainly not a servant. We know the story of the Jesus tells of the servant who was out in the field plowing and working throughout the whole day. And when he gets back home, the master says, well, now will you make me my meal? And so he has to make the meal for the master as well. And then after that, he doesn't even get any praise. And Jesus said, we are all unprofitable servants. We're just servants of the master. How do we act when we get treated like a servant? Well, today what I want to do is look at three attitudes that we must have if we want to be ready to serve the Lord this year. If you don't have these attitudes, well then you're not ready to serve. That's the key. If we don't have these attitudes, we can quite easily end the year very frustrated and angry, and quite easily ruin the work that God wants to do here in each one of us. And so we owe it to each other to make sure we have our mind ready to serve. The first attitude that we need to have is we need to think like a steward instead of a master. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we see here that we are referred to as a steward. It says, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, when we look at this verse, we generally look at the faithful side. We need to be faithful, and that's true. But here we see that God refers to us as a steward over God's possession. See, in Bible times, a steward was a servant given responsibility to manage an estate. For example, Joseph, he was the steward over Potiphar's estate. Yet he was still a servant, but he was given particular responsibilities of managing that estate. We would call it a manager today. You have a farm, you put a manager there to look after it, but you're the master, you're the owner. And if we truly think like a servant, we'll see, first of all, God is our master. That's that surrendering, offering your body as a living sacrifice. God, I am yours. You're my master. That's the first thing. But then there is the right mindset as well, where we act like He is the master and we are the stewards. We have the responsibility given to us by our master to manage His possessions on His behalf. And you know, God's word shows us that we've been made stewards of many things. Things that we often think are ours. The world certainly thinks it's theirs. For example, we are given stewardship. We have the responsibility of being stewards of our body. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that familiar verse, what, know you not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body, is it yours or is it God's? If you're saved, God says it's mine. And so, and I've given you the responsibility of being a steward over that body. That means I want you to treat it the way I want you to treat it. You're to be where I want your body to be. I want you, your body, to act in certain ways, and I want you to make sure it's acting in those ways. We are stewards of our body. We're not the owner. Our money. We like to think 10% is God's and the rest is ours. The reality is it's all God's. We are stewards of God's money. Our children, we like to think they are our possessions until they turn 18 and then they're sort of ours and their own. But the reality is that they're all God's. And God has given us stewardship over them to care for them on His behalf. And we give an account of how well we did that. One day. Our time is a very limited resource. We all get a certain amount of time given to us by God. But it's not our time, it's on loan from God. And God says, you use that time wisely and in a way that I want you to use it. And so it's not a matter of, God, I'll squeeze a little bit of time for you here, but the rest is mine. No, God, what do you want me to do with your time that you've blessed me with? Same with talents and gifts. They're given to us from God for His glory. And as well as that, this church is a gift from God. And that's primarily what I'm looking at today. This church, Golden City Baptist Church, is not my church. It's not the members' church. It's not the founding members' church. It is God's church. And we have been given the responsibility to care for this part of God's kingdom. Have you ever stopped to think of that? God looks from heaven over His kingdom, and a part of His kingdom is Golden City Baptist Church, and He has put stewards there to care for that on his behalf. And if you are involved in a ministry here, you have been given a little slice of that kingdom to be in charge of, or to be a steward of as well. And so when you look out of this, come out, consider this year and the areas where you may be serving the Lord here in this church, let's put aside all the other areas, just this church, realize that you are a steward of that. It's not yours, it's God's. And he will ask you to care for it how he wants you to. And you know, the fact is, it'll be our attitude towards these things that'll have a major effect on our actions. The way that you look at your ministry here will affect how you act in your ministry. For example, if you owned a farm and you hired a manager or a steward to care for it, you know, you have certain rights as the owner, don't you? You know, you can go to the manager and say, look, I'm going to get another manager to look after the farm now. You can do that, can't you? Because you're the owner. Now, if the manager says, hey, that's not fair, this is my farm, I'm not going to let you take over and get someone else. Well, he has not been thinking right. He ought to be thinking like a steward. But now he's thinking like the owner. And you have the right to take, move, and shuffle whoever you want to work on that farm that you own. Yet how often does God say, you know, I'm going to move you from here to there. I want to use this person in this area now. I want to change this around. And we get all upset as though it's our possession to do as we will. And we get upset with God because he's changing and taking things away from us. It's God's. It's not ours. Yet we can change and stop thinking like a steward and start thinking like a master at times. You know, if you own a farm, you can do things your way, can't you? Even if it's absolutely stupid. You can go to the manager and say, look, we're going to sell all these cows. We're going to buy that equipment. We're going to move this over here. And I don't want you to do things the way you're doing it. I want to do it my way. And the manager, if he's thinking right, will say, well, you're the owner. I'm here to manage your farm how you want me to. And he does it. But if he yells and screams and says it's silly and I refuse to do it, now he's thinking like a master. Yet, God says, for us here, we are to do things his way. And when God's word says do this and we refuse to do it, what are we thinking like now? We're starting to think like the master instead of the steward. And it will affect every part of our actions here in a local church. We need to have the mind of a steward this year. If you're not thinking like a steward, you're not ready to serve. You need to be getting that ready. Lord, I'm here to care for your little slice of the kingdom. Show me what you want me to be doing and how you want me to do it. I want to serve you faithfully as a steward who one day will have to give an account. That's the first thing we need to make sure we've got right in our mind before we're ready to serve. The second thing is we need to think about our own responsibilities and not others and their responsibilities. You know, we'll turn over to Romans, would you please? Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, we read God's attitude, or what he expects of us as servants. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now with that in mind, turn over to Luke chapter 10 now, And we're going to look at a wonderful servant of God. They had the actions of God, of a servant. But with the light of not judging a fellow servant, you ask if this person had the mind of a servant. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, there's no doubting that Martha had the actions of a servant. She was literally serving Christ and his disciples. She was busy making sure everything was just right for them as they came into her house. The disciples probably sat back and watched Martha serving and thinking, what a wonderful servant of Christ, what a godly lady. But what was going on inside her head? Did she have the mind of a servant as well? No. She was judging her sister. She was looking at her sister, comparing herself to her sister. I'm running around doing all these things and she's doing nothing. She's not a very good servant. She should be out here doing this and doing that and helping me. All this was going through her head while she was serving. She had the actions right, but she didn't have the mind right. And I can tell you this for sure. If you have the actions of a servant this year, but you have the same attitude as what Martha had here, well then it will cause you to lose your joy in serving. And it will cause a lot of problems here as well. We see that when Martha lost that servant's heart and began to judge her sister and her service, she acted in a number of ways that were absolutely wrong. And it ruined the blessing of serving. You know, what we notice here is she first of all got angry with Mary. As she was serving, she was brewing on the inside because Mary wasn't doing what she thought she should have been doing. Which is what will happen if we stop thinking like a servant and start judging others. We'll see others, we'll see how they act, and we will judge their efforts and think that's not done properly, that's not good enough, you could do this a better way or a different way, they're not doing it as good as what I could be doing. You start judging someone else, and generally what happens is you start to get angry with them. And now you're acting like the master. It's the master who decides if someone's serving right or isn't, and it's the master who gets disappointed because that's who they're meant to be serving. Yet how often do we get angry with others because we don't think they're serving how they should? Do you get angry with others here? It's a sign of your mindset. Not only that, she got jealous. Martha thought, how come you get to sit there, Mary, at Jesus' feet, and I get stuck in the kitchen and doing all the serving? She got upset because she was serving when that's what she was meant to do and be, and that is a servant of the Lord Jesus. She was jealous that she couldn't be doing what Mary was doing. And that will happen if we don't have the mind of a servant. We'll get jealous when others seem to get it easier or get something better. We get jealous. I often think of the missionaries when they come back from a mission field, particularly in a third world country, and they come to our churches, they go to our homes, and they see everything we have and how little they have and what they have to go through compared to us, and how easy it must be to get jealous and critical and judgmental. You would have to have the right mindset to come back on furlough, I believe, to get through it properly. And we can all be like that. Do you get jealous of some here? Do you think you do more than others? Or you think you can do it better? It's a good sign you're no longer thinking like a servant. You need to get that right in your mind. What about discontent with the job that you've been given? You know, if I said to you, hey, Jesus himself is coming to your house today, you get to serve him, we would think, wow, he's in our lounge room, he's in our, sitting at our dining room table, I'm going to serve him like I've never served anyone before. And quite possibly that's how Martha thought as well. Yet when she started to compare herself to her sister and started judging her sister, now her job didn't seem that good. She wanted to be doing what Mary was doing. And if she couldn't get that, well, then she wanted Mary to serve like her. She was a jealous lady. And that will happen. You'll get jealous of others. You know, I know in my head that the calling of a pastor is a privilege. You should be ever grateful that God would even trust you to do that. Yet I know when I don't have my mind right, I get jealous of what other people get to do for the Lord and rather be doing that. That shows when you start to get jealous and you're discontented with what God has given you to do, thinking, I wish I could do that or be like that or have that instead, that's when you know you don't have the mind of a servant. Things are going wrong. But you know, up until this time, Martha could have had the complete wrong attitude and people still would have thought she was a wonderful servant. Because all of those things were actually things that you could hide on the inside. Because the feeling of anger, the feeling of jealousy, the feeling of being discontented with what you had to do are all things on the inside. She could have been in that kitchen grumbling about Mary and why do I have to be doing this and it's not fair, I should be out there. And then she goes through the door and, oh, hello, oh, yes, you can, and be a lovely servant. And everyone would have thought, look at Martha, she is such a godly lady. Yet on the inside, she was far from being a servant. And you know, a lot of people are like that at home. They will complain about everyone else and how they don't do this right and they should be doing that. Complain about what they have to be doing and be angry and upset and bitter. Come to church, they serve. Oh, I just love serving God. But it's so different on the inside. And Christians are able to serve like this with the wrong attitude, sometimes for years. But there is one thing you can be very sure of. In time, what's on the inside will come out. It will eventually come out. And we see that it eventually came out with Martha. I don't know how long it took, but there was that time where she said, went to Jesus and said, Jesus, doesn't it bother you that she's just sitting there and she should be helping me? Now, she's verbalizing what's been going on the inside. Now she's not only thinking like the Master, she's speaking like the Master. Mary, you should be in that kitchen helping me. And she attacked her sister. And brethren, if our attitude's not one of a servant this year, then you can be very sure that you're going to do the same. How often have you had the actions of a servant here? Yet you've been comparing, you've been judging, and because of that you've been getting proud, or you've been getting jealous, you've been getting bitter, you've been complaining about fellow servants, making judgments upon them. Well, it shows that what's on the inside is starting to come out. And it shows your mindset isn't right. And you're not thinking like a servant. It's like those, like children. You might have children, they all have their responsibilities. But there's generally at least one that wants to think like the parent, isn't there? And they will go around checking on everyone else to make sure they're doing their jobs. Sometimes to the degree that they don't even do their own job, but they're making sure everyone's doing it, and they'll rouse on someone if they're not. They start thinking like a parent and forget that they're just one of the children. And we could do the same with our fellow servants. We forget we're servants and we start thinking like the master. We start comparing ourselves. We start assessing them. We start to see if they're slack or whatever it may be. We think like the master instead of the servant. Now, there is no denying God has given some servants the responsibility of overseeing others. That's how God works. Joseph was the manager, the steward over Potiphar's domain. He was a servant, but he was given responsibility by the master to oversee others. And that does happen. You know, if you're a one-way leader, you just don't let the children do as they wish. You have a responsibility to oversee them and make sure they are doing what they ought to be doing. And that varies regardless of where we are. And so, yes, there are times we need to oversee. But there's a big difference between fulfilling God-given responsibilities and simply comparing and attacking people because you're jealous and discontented. There's a very big difference. Servants need to think about their own responsibilities. And so, with this in mind, do you find yourself looking at others instead of yourself? Criticizing others instead of making sure you're doing what's right? Condemning? Judging? If so, I don't believe you're ready to serve. You need to be focused on what do you want me to do so I may serve you properly? And you know, the third one, and it's just a very quick one, is we must forget about ourselves. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there, it says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That's an attitude of humility which produces selflessness. And then it says, looks like a contradiction here, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Think of others, not yourself. But that's not meaning, I don't like the way they're doing that. Oh, I think they should be doing that better. Oh, no, that's really bad. That's not what it's talking about. It's thinking of, well, how can I serve others? And if you've got a TV and you've been watching the tennis lately, you get a perfect example of this with the ball boys and ball girls. They are there to serve the tennis players. They are there to get the balls for them. They're to wait for their little look and give them a nod, and they throw the ball to them. They run after. They are there simply to serve the tennis player. Imagine if one of those ball boys or ball girls started to think more highly of themselves than they should. The ball goes out, looks at it. You can get it, I'm not getting it. Or the tennis player nods, ball, no, that's mine. You can get his. Right? I don't think that'd last long. Because they're actually not doing what they were called to do. And that's how we ought to be treating one another. We're the ball boy and each other are the players. We're to humble ourselves in that way, serving those who God has called us to serve, where we forget about ourselves and think of others. You know, I've heard it said, it's only when you stop focusing on your own needs you become aware of the needs of others. It's only when you stop thinking about yourself you're able to see the needs of others. When you're so focused on yourself, you don't see any other needs but my needs. And when you find yourself starting to complain about how hard you have it, how badly you've been treated by others, how unfair others have been to you? Where is your attention focused on? On yourself. And everything seems a million times worse when you're thinking about things done to you. But if you have a mind of a servant, I'm here for others, you'll find that those things aren't that bad and there are great needs that you can be helping others with. And so can I ask you, if you say that you're going to serve the Lord here, praise God you got an attitude of actions right. But is your mind ready? I ask you to make sure it's ready by making sure that when you think of wherever God has called you to serve, you're there as a steward, not the master. That you will also be thinking about your responsibilities, not how well everyone else is going. And that you'll be thinking, how can I serve these ones rather than have everyone serve me? When you've got that mind set, then you're ready to serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the perfect picture in our Saviour of a servant. We read that in Philippians 2 and many other places. Lord, if anyone deserved to be worshipped and who was the master himself, yet was willing to lay aside all that and serve others, it's our Saviour. I pray that we may reflect him. Help us, Lord, we are by nature selfish. It is our default mode. We need the grace of God to override that. Please help us to be able to do that, dear Lord, and to be ready to serve you faithfully this year. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.